Welcome to 12-Minute Convos with Jesus, believers. God chose first to have a conversation with us, His creation. His truth, spoken in one moment, became an evergreen seed for our generation today. The power of a conversation is eternal. Our prayer is that this listening space brings growth and transforms your life forever.
Good morning, Karen. How are you doing today?
Very well, and you?
I'm excellent, as can be. Thanks for asking. What part of the world are you in today?
I'm at Sydney, Australia.
All right, wonderful. So you're on the other side of the world from me, yeah? Thanks for connecting. So tell me about this journey of being married, one, to your sweetheart.
You know, it's amazing that God can put someone in your life so young. I met my husband when I was 15. I mean, what I knew about life was just nothing. But God knew who I would need through all my years growing up and the support that I would need. Just to have someone that loves you and cares about you is the most beautiful gift that God can give you. You know, all these years, we've been good to each other. We've been kind to each other. And that's a very strong thing about marriage. You know, it's not to pick on each other and belittle each other, but to treat each other with respect and with dignity, because your husband or your wife is also a child of God. They also belong to Jesus, and God loves them, and God died for them. So, you know, you're not only married to a man that's your husband, but he's also God's child. And so you need to reverence that and respect that in him.
So immediately it feels as though the level of respect and love you have for others has allowed you to be somewhat of a kind person by force. Is that accurate?
Yes, I agree, because, you know, kindness seems to be a dying art, because the Bible says in the last days people will be lovers of men, lovers of themselves more than lovers of men. And, you know, kindness is just, it's free. Whether you're rich, poor, any color, it doesn't matter. You can be kind. A smile is a gracious thing to give someone. And you just never know what your little act of kindness could mean to that other person. So I think kindness is a really big thing in life.
How did you come to know Jesus Christ?
I was very blessed, thank you, Jesus, that I met him when I was 12. I came out of from an abused home, and I basically, the school announced that on Sunday they will be giving the school hall out to these pastors to start a Sunday school. And I thought, oh, that's great, because I can go there and at least I'm getting out the house away from my father, and I'll just, you know, so tell him I'm going to Sunday school. Not knowing, you know, God's got these things set up for you. And the lady there, she said, does anyone need a friend that will never leave you and stay with you the rest of your life? And, you know, with all the abuse that was going on, I certainly needed a friend. And so I put my hand up, and she said that, you know, you can talk to him anytime, all the time, whenever you want. He will always be there. Even though he's an invisible friend, he is your best friend, and he will always, always have your back. At 12 years old, that was the most beautiful gift I could ever have received, because it just, every time the pressure got too much or I wasn't coping, I would talk to Jesus all the time about, how am I going to do this? Please help me. Please help me. So it was wonderful to have met him so young.
How have you seen your relationship evolve over time with Jesus?
I mean, it just is amazing. I still talk to him all the time. My husband always says to me, who are you talking to? And I said, I'm talking to Jesus. You know, I still talk to him all the time. I asked him all the time for help. He's so gracious to me. You know, whenever I need something, it just happens. He takes such good care of me. He's really been a father, a companion. He's been everything in my life. And, you know, if you just stay with him through the thick, through the thin, because life has ups and downs, but you don't take it out on God and blame him. You hold fast to him and let him be your anchor. Your relationship will grow from strength to strength and from depth to depth. You will find that you will become so anchored in God that no matter what the world throws at you and what happens, your focus never changes. You always know that your Father loves you, that he's got your back, and that he's always there to take care of you.
Is it accurate to say the kindness that you were shown way back at that Sunday school, and then the kindness you were shown through the relationship with your husband, is what healed you into writing today?
Interesting, yes. My books are about kindness, mostly about forgiveness, because I really believe that unless you forgive, you just can't heal. Forgiveness is definitely the first thing that has to happen. But I do feel that God has opened things in my heart that have made me realize that it's not money, it's not about resources, it's just something that you can do that's within you. Being kind, being forgiving. God doesn't require things from you that are going to cost you physically, mentally, monetary, and things like that. What he's requiring from you is in your capacity to already receive. With any like me, I've had people come across my path that have enhanced my journey. And that's what God does. God is the great networker. Oh my goodness, can God network? I mean, he puts people, I mean, look at us, we're talking across the world. God has a
Exactly.
great network and he can mix you, put you with someone that is just going to help your life so much, like he's done for me.
What was the first book that you actually launched?
My journey to enjoy my life, about my journey from freedom from abuse and how God healed, restored to me life. Because, you know, when you come out of an abusive home, you're so used to living in shadows and hiding and trying to tiptoe around your abuser that you lose your own identity. And so, you know, when I left home, I didn't have any identity. I didn't know who Corin Thompson was, what do I like, what I don't like. I just wanted to make everybody else happy as long as I just could disappear. That was my first book, my journey to enjoy my life.
So you did the nonfiction first and then went to the fiction books, yeah?
Yes, two non-fictions. I did another one, Encouragement for the Weary Soul, where just some good old-fashioned advice based on scripture with some prayers and encouragement on subjects that we deal with today. And then I started doing the fiction where I started incorporating characters with problems coming from different backgrounds, how they dealt with their world, and when their world was all falling apart, how they dealt with it. But in the whole thread of the book is kindness and is forgiveness.
I'm intrigued by James, though. Was his story similar to yours in terms of meeting Christ?
The chances of James and I actually even being together, it's a billion to one because my husband was in the war in South Africa. So he was there for 10 years. So he suffered from PTSD with that. Then he got terrible anxiety. So he had his issues and I had my issues. And only God could sort something out and make something beautiful out of all these issues. When I met him, he wasn't saved. But he saw Jesus in me because I was always talking to Jesus. And I would say to him, don't worry, God's going to take care of us. God will help us. I started going to church and he, because he loved me, you know, he just followed me everywhere. So he went to church too and eventually asked Jesus into his heart and had a whole beautiful encounter with the Lord, which really helped him with his trauma and the things he had to deal with.
If you took a minute and just looked at yourself being grandmother, mother, and wife, is there an emotional aspect that goes with tremendous sadness of you not being in that equation at some point in this lifetime?
You know, if I didn't forgive, because I was a very angry young lady, I was bitter, I was disappointed, I had so much shame, I had guilt, I had remorse. I mean, you know, all the haves I had. If I had not forgiven and let go of the damage that my dad did to me and embraced the identity and identification with Jesus, I wouldn't have had a husband that loved me. I wouldn't have had two godly men who married two godly women and have three godly Christian grandchildren because bitter people don't produce beautiful fruit. Angry people don't produce beautiful fruit. When you are full of animosity, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, it festers and it festers and it festers. And over the years, you are not a happy camper. You don't come out and produce as a happy camper. You're miserable. You're always snapping. You're grumpy. And so, therefore, people don't want to be around you. And eventually, even my father, he never changed. He died alone. But because I let Jesus into my life, the love of Jesus spread abroad in my heart and changed my whole mindset. So I became kind. I became a nicer person. Our love united and became stronger because, you know, if you're good to each other, you just get stronger. And then, of course, you produce a home together and you introduce Jesus into your home. And my whole legacy has changed because of Jesus and because I let go of my past.
For the person that's listening, that is probably in the same place you are back then, what would you say to them to encourage them?
I would say to you that you need to hold on to God. You need to hold on to God with every fiber of your being and seek direction. Get help, get counseling. I mean, in today's world, you know, you can report things, you can talk to people. In my world, this happened in the 70s, 60s, and 70s. You know, life was very different then. Everything was under the carpet and no one told anybody anything. I really advise that you get some help. But know that God loves you. You're not being punished. He's not trying to put shame and guilt on you. None of these things are from God. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you really need to get help and really seek God's face and how he can help you get out of that situation.
Karen, I appreciate you passing by to have a conversation with me. In closing, is there anything else you'd like to share?
I want to say that your past does not need to define you. Because you had a bad start, and I had a very bad start, it doesn't mean that I have to be that person. I can be a better person because of Jesus.
Thank you very much. Again, a pleasure. I treasure Karen Thompson. Thank you for being on what is inspired by 12 Minute Convos.